I'd like to ask those of you who are parents a question, but I don't want you to answer it. Because I'm going to answer it for you, and I don't think you would tell me the truth. I'm going to ask you, which is your favorite child? But I'm going to tell you. Notice, by the way, I do not say, I mean, what parents will always say is, you know, I love all my children equally or differently, but the same. And I believe that, but I didn't ask you which child do you love the most. I said, which is your favorite? And the only honest answer to that is, it depends when. Sometimes it's this one, but other times, this one belongs to my spouse. He's your daughter, you take care of it. Or she. In anger, you know, pronouns get mixed up. And that is the truth, which is that we favor different children, different people, different friends, different ideas at different times. That's human. And so, if you ask a sort of Torahitic equivalent of what is your favorite child, that is, what is your favorite verse, the only appropriate answer is, it depends when. Because there are a lot of good verses. Choose life is a good verse. The Shema is a really good one. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes that feels like the best verse in the Torah, sometimes it feels ridiculous. But I'm going to read you this morning from one of the richest parshiot we have, that is V'etchanan, what we read this morning, which has the Ten Commandments and has the Shema. There's a lot of good stuff in there. What is most of the time my favorite verse? Not all the time. Most of the time. Rak hishamer lecha. Just take care of yourself. Watch over yourself. Ushmor nafshecha me'od. And guard your soul carefully. I think of everything in the Torah, in some ways that is my favorite verse. Guard your soul carefully. And it goes on to say, by the way, so that you don't forget the things that you saw. One of the reasons that I love this verse is that it doesn't exactly say what it means. It tells you to guard your soul, and it gives you some general direction, but it doesn't say, and in order to guard your soul, here is a checklist of 12 things that you must do, even though, obviously, for the Torah, guarding your soul and doing the mitzvot are intimately connected. But I've been thinking about the verse this week because I knew V'etchanan was coming up, and I have long loved this particular verse. And I came up with a few things that I think arise from the Torah that help us understand what it is to guard our souls. And the first is exactly what it says. So you don't forget. The Jews as a people and we as individuals guard our souls through memory. We don't only guard our souls through the memory of Jews and everything that has happened to us and all of our experiences and by reading the Torah over and over again, which is, after all, an exercise in memory. That's what it is. But also we guard our souls through personal memory. Someone who has no memories has no identity. If you don't remember where you have been, what you have done, who is close to you, who you've loved, who you've hurt, who you've learned from, who you've taught. You don't know who you are. And so the very first thing that the Torah tells us is, if you're going to guard your soul, then you have to cherish your memories. Good and bad. because your bad memories make you part of who you are as well as your good memories. And we know that not only as individuals, but we know that as a people. The idea that you break a glass at a wedding, recalling bad memories in good moments, tells us that we understand that identity is a complex of all the things that happen to us, good and bad, joyous and tragic. The second part of guarding your soul is that this verse takes place in the book of Deuteronomy. And that means when the Jewish people are right on the other side of the Jordan. In other words, we're telling people to guard their souls right before they attain the goal that they have been working towards for decades. And so part of guarding your soul is knowing what it is that you want for it. Part of guarding your soul is not only having life happen to you, but having some idea, plan, outline, aspiration, dream that you want from life. Because after all, the whole idea of this verse is that your soul is something that gets shaped. You help create it in a certain way. It's not that you're given a soul and that's it. It's all done. No, your soul is a work in progress. And you know, just like Michelangelo used to say that he could envision the sculpture inside the stone and he had to chip away until he could find the hidden masterpiece inside the stone, that it was there waiting for him. That's how we think of our souls. We have to know what it is we want them to be, have an aspiration for them and for life, so that we work towards it. And it's not just a product of happenstance or accident. Both those things imply the third, which is that you have to take your soul seriously. It doesn't mean you have to take your soul humorlessly. You don't have to be somber, but you have to be serious. You've been given this inestimable gift, a soul. And what you do with it matters. And if you treat yourself, and therefore your soul, trivially, thoughtlessly, foolishly, then you're not guarding your own soul. And then lastly, in addition to memory, in addition to aspiration, in addition to seriousness, it struck me that in some ways, in a strange way that everyone understands, there's a paradox to guarding your soul, which is that the only way you can guard your soul really in this world is by sometimes being completely unguarded with your soul. Being open, being vulnerable, being ready to be hurt. Taking chances with your soul, knowing that sometimes they will work out and sometimes not. Being, at times, a little reckless. I mean, after all, if you think about what Moshe did, here, go take this people, lead them out of slavery, and wander with them 40 years in the wilderness, it was a reckless thing to do. But taking that chance with his soul was what helped him rise above the everyday. And we all can think of times in our lives when we did something that a prudent voice inside of us said, don't do this. This isn't smart. This doesn't make sense. And by the way, the prudent voice inside of us could have been someone in our family or our friends. And yet we decided, you know what? I think I need to do this. I need to take a leap, a soul leap, because in the end, it will be better for me. And therefore, since The me is indistinguishable from the soul. Better for the soul with which I was entrusted. Nefesh, the word that we use for soul, is also sometimes the word that we use for life itself. Because in some real way, they are interchangeable. The fate of your soul is the direction of your life. The people you surround yourself with, the things that you hope and wish for, the love that you seek, the things that you push away, they all affect the gift you were given. When God creates Adam at the beginning of the book of Genesis, it says, "V'pach ba'apav nishmat chayim." He breathes into him the breath of life. That's what we're given. And how we shape it, and how we grow it, and how we return it to the one who gave it to us, that's how we can judge whether our life was lived well or not lived well. So that's why, for me, this is the verse. Because it is true that the Jewish people are very communally oriented, and we always talk about what Judaism means for us as a people, and that's important. And it's very family oriented, and we always talk about the importance of the Jewish family, and that matters. But remember, Nivra Adam Yichidi, the Mishnah teaches us, every human being was created singly, was created as an individual. And your soul, unique, unrepeated, and unrepeatable, that is the basic unit, the building block, if you will, of our tradition and our world. So guard your soul. You are the only one who can. And one day, when the time comes, not, I hope, for a long time, to give it back, you can say, it was good that you entrusted this soul to me. I took care of it. I grew it. It moved through the world with seriousness, with kindness, and with love. So thank you, God. Your gift was well given. Shabbat Shalom.